Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. And I just want verses 9, 10, and 11 as we commence our message this morning. Thank you for coming. Good to see you all. And the Lord bless you again this morning through the ministry of his precious word for his dear name's sake. And when we read these three verses, please keep your Bible open. We are going to move to other scriptures this morning as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And why is that? Because our blessed Saviour said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, what a list. And these people, saith Paul, who commit these things willfully, blatantly, and continuously, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Nothing can be more clear than that. And then he saith in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified or set apart in Christ, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let me say, it's good to be saved and to be a new creation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, can we define sin this morning? The story is told of Dr. J.W. Chapman, and who used to tell of a preacher who often spoke on the subject of sin, mincing no words, but calling it that abominable thing that God hates. One of his congregation came to him and urged him to stop using that ugly word. We wish, he said, you would not speak so plainly about sin. Our young people hearing you will more likely indulge in it. Call it something else, such as inhibition, error, a fault, or a mistake. Going to his medicine cabinet, the preacher produced a small bottle. This bottle, he said, contains strychnine and has a red label on it marked poison. Would you suggest that I change the label and put on it one that reads wintergreen? The more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dose. Those who do these things, saith Paul, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you can just see how dangerous it is. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on our past when we were without God, without Christ, and without hope in this world. Want to think of our lost, sinful, guilty state as unsaved, unclean sinners. Then I want to think with you about our present as saved, sealed, and seated with Christ at God's right hand. Then I want to think with you about our future prospects, and that's to be with Christ in glory. And I want to conclude by bringing before you our wonderful Lord and Saviour. He's the same yesterday, the past. He's the same today, that's the present. And he'll be the same forever, that's the future. Our eternal future. So first of all, let us think about our past before we were born again of the Spirit of God. Before we experienced a new birth and became a new creation in Christ, when all things of this world passed away and behold, all things became new for us. You see, Paul in his epistle to the Romans makes it absolutely clear that there is none righteous. No, not one. He speaks of the total depravity of man. He says there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He not only speaks of man's depravity, but he speaks of man's departure from God. We are all gone out of the way. We are all together become unprofitable because there is none that doeth good. No, not one. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read this concerning our blessed Savior. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then the prophet saith this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, we had all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. And the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. What a catalogue. Paul could preach, you know. He didn't make little of sin. He spoke of its depravity and spoke of man's departure from God. He spoke of man's great need. You see, we discovered this great truth when we heard the gospel of our salvation and we bowed our knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and we called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, we discovered that we were saved by grace alone. Amen. And this is all our plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and thank God Jesus died for me. We had all gone astray like lost sheep. We had all gone out of the way. We had altogether become unprofitable. There was none of us done any good. No, not one of us. And beloved, we couldn't save ourselves. Not one of us. We didn't even know the way of peace. There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. They don't know peace, and the way of peace, they don't know. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. And we're seeing that today. Men are living blatantly in their sins. They're rebelling against God and against His Word. And God would draw nigh through the preaching of the gospel, and He would say, by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. The scriptures have concluded that all the world is guilty before God. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is being manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And it's unto all and upon all that believe on the blessed Saviour. Thank God for that moment when our eyes were open. And we understood these things. And God illuminated and enlightened our darkened minds. And brought us to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we recognize this morning our lost, sinful estate without Christ. Out of Christ, without a Saviour. Traveling a broad road. Going to eternal destruction. But I don't want to dwell on our past. We know all too much about it. We were all too familiar with sin that we now regret and now hate. But I want you to bring face to face with our present. And thank God. God in love and grace and mercy has saved us. And He has saved us by His grace. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind. But add the personal note. And Jesus died for me. Thank God, that's my testimony this morning. Jesus died for me, and who saved us, and hath called us by an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He hath given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But you see, not only, beloved, are we saved by God's grace, but Paul in his epistle to the Romans also tells us this. In Romans 8 and chapter and in verse 33 he says this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Justified by faith in our person and through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by His grace. This morning we're standing in grace. And thank God for the believer. There is an abundance of grace to meet our need. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, how much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We owe everything to Him. Beloved, He loved us. He gave Himself for us. And our present position in Christ is this. We are saved by His grace. and we have been justified by faith, and we're standing in grace, and there is abundance of grace to meet our every need. Dear child of God, this morning, I want you to understand this as we read in the epistle to the Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse number 5, we discover this great truth. Even when we were dead, there's our past, when we were dead in sins, there's the present, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are what? Saved. That's our present. We're saved. But more than that, look at verse 13 of chapter 1. In whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, listen to it, ye were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Beloved, we're saved. We're sealed. But look at chapter 2 and verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're saved. We're sealed. We're seated. And thank God, we're eternally secure in Christ. Can you see your past? Your lost, sinful, guilty estate. Without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. All we like sheep were gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way. But then the word of truth came in, the gospel of our salvation, and believing, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God through the new birth unto the day of redemption. That's our present. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Justified by grace, standing in grace. And thank God, there's an abundance of grace to keep us in our pilgrim pathway to the city of our God. That's our past. That's our present. But I want to talk to you now about our future prospects. And let me say, they're wonderful indeed. They're blessed indeed. Because our future prospect is to be with Christ and to be like him. The Apostle Paul could say this as he went out preaching the gospel, establishing churches and seeking to uphold the saints in prayer and reach out with the message of the cross. He saith, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart this life to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming again to you. But dear friends, as we name the name of Christ, then let our conversation, let our behavior be as becometh the gospel of Christ. So Paul says that whether I come and see you or else am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you know why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. But listen, as we trust in Christ, as we realize our standing in Him, and there's abundance of grace in Him, then in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you, dear child of God, it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but even to suffer for His sake. And many of the dear saints are. They're suffering for His sake. Ah, but the glorious prospect of all God's people is to be with Christ. Look at Colossians, and it's chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and so we are in newness of life, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Isn't that where He is? And positionally, aren't we seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the moment? Not yet in reality. Ah, but the day will come when we will be with Him and will see Him face to face. So therefore, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him where? In glory. That's our glorious prospect. It is to be with Christ in reality. And when our blessed Saviour appears, then shall we also appear with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Where is He? He's in the glory. He's in the Father's house. He has gone on ahead to prepare a place for us. He's coming to take us home. Friends, that's our glorious prospect. And thank God it's ever opening to the Christian's view. And it's growing brighter and more wonderful as the days go by. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 just for a moment. I want you to see something of our future prospect. And in verse 18, Paul saith this, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now let me say this, dear child of God. Even in this town of Cookstown, there are those who are the enemies of the gospel of Christ. They have no time for the gospel. My dear friends, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. You see, they have no consideration of the things of God, and they have no conscience about what they're doing and the sins that they commit, and they have no concern of spiritual things. They mind earthly things. And then Paul goes on to say this, for our conversation, can you see the distinction between the many who walk in ways that are unbecoming of the gospel of Christ, and Paul would weep over them because he knows their end. Let me show you this briefly and quickly in 2 Thessalonians, and it's chapter 2. And when the Antichrist in verse 9 appears, His coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders. And that we say there are many antichrists abroad in the world today, deceiving men. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Why not? Because they're the enemies of the gospel of Christ. Now watch this. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, or the lie, as it should be, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, there's a crowd of people out there, and they're deceived by satanic power, signs and wonders. They are deluded in their minds that they should not, that they should believe the lie. And they will be damned because they believe not the truth. Serious. That's how serious it is. Friends, if you know Christ, then you thank God you're saved. Now watch this. We're back in Philippians. For our conversation, our behavior should be different because we're heavenly citizens. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our frail body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working where he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, our blessed Saviour is coming again. And when he comes back again, you see this mortal body of mine, you see that mortal body of yours, and it's subject to disease, to sickness, to death, to decay, to going into corruption and death. We're subject to those things. For the wages of sin is death. And death is written in our members. But when our blessed Lord Jesus comes again, he's going to change this frail body, and this mortal is going to put on immortality. And the bodies of the same Son of God into corruption, they're going to raise in incorruptible bodies. And we're going to have bodies like unto his glorious body. And then, at that moment, we will enter into the completeness and the reality of our salvation. We'll be with the Lord. That's our prospect. And it's a glorious one. Isn't it? Aren't you glad you're saved? Now I want to show you in closing whom to whom we owe it all. To our wonderful Lord and Saviour, the Son of the living God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I have no hesitation in saying this from the deep depths of my heart, that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And my faith rests in him, not only for time, but for all eternity. Is that where your faith resides? I sincerely hope that it does. For he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, our Saviour is a wonderful Saviour, for he's the same yesterday as the past. He's the same today as the present. And he's the same forever. He's the unchanging Christ. Beloved, when he ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, and the disciples were watching him going up, and suddenly he was enveloped in the Shekinah glory, and he was taken out of their sight. And they're so amazed and enthralled at the sight that the angel said to them, ye men of Galilee, what are you doing standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. And it's the same Jesus. The same unquestionable Jesus. The same unmistakable Jesus, the same unchangeable Jesus. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same, thank God, forever. Now I want to add something here. He comes close. And in John chapter 13 and verse 34, he says, I have loved you. And I want you to note the tense, it's past. I have loved you. And I want you to notice what he says in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I will never leave you. I have loved you past. I will never leave you. That's the present. And he says in John 14 and chapter 3, or John 14 verse 3, I will come again and receive you. And that's future. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. He loved you in the past. He'll never leave you in the present. And he'll come again for you one of these days future. Isn't that mighty? Thank God it is. But you know, that teaches me a great truth that some people miss. When some loved one or some friend takes an incurable illness or sickness, immediately they go to this text and they say, Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the unchanging one. And when he walked and ministered on this earth during his years here, his 33 and a half years, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he done mighty wonderful works. Why isn't he doing it today? The answer is to be found in the dispensational teachings of this word. God doesn't always act in each dispensation and in each age the same way. When our Lord Jesus Christ came, he came under the law. And he performed miracles and signs and wonders to prove his messiahship. Why isn't he doing it today? My dear friend, you're going to miss it. If you don't realize, not only is he the same yesterday, today, he's the same forever. And when he comes again, all those dear saints of God who have passed on because of incurable illness and sickness, he's going to raise them in incorruptible bodies. He's going to do even more than he did in the days of his flesh. He's going to change our vile body. Friend, that's mighty. When you think that 2 millennia has passed from he died and rose again and ascended back to glory, in our language, 2,000 years have passed. And where is all that sacred dust of all the dead saints? Friends, it's in Mother Earth, and I'll tell you this, that our God knows where every particle of it is. Not one of them will be lost. Not one. And when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, every child of God, every one that the Father gives to him from all eternity, will all be there. Will all be there. There won't be a hoof left behind. I'm getting excited, I'm sorry. And there's something to get excited about. So you can see this morning, our past, our present, and our future. And do you know where all our blessings are? They're in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He's altogether lovely. 10,000 charms around him shine. And best of all, I know he's mine. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
Bless this word to all our hearts. Encourage your dear people here this morning.
Yes.
And Lord, speak with the voice that wakes the dead. And make thy people hear. We're on the victory side. Lord, so many dear saints are going through times of sorrow and sickness, problems and trials that are heavy to bear.
Yes.
But our God knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is trust him. Increase our faith and teach us to trust in our God. Our blessed Savior says, all power in heaven and on earth belongeth unto me. Lord, bless your word and bless your people. And we pray, Lord, as we leave the hall and make our journey homeward, that you will separate us in your fear and with your blessing for our Saviour's sake and glory. Amen. Amen.